Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and my good friend Sean Orford here.
Good morning everybody.
Sean, this is episode number 10.
We're in, I know, it's amazing.
Double figures.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought we'd see it through this far?
Yeah. Might be famous one day.
One day. Is this what you're doing it for? Is that the goal?
Do you know I'm already famous?
Infamous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks again for tuning in. We're building quite a little audience, which is exciting and cool. For more information about Sean and myself, and if you want to stalk us online, you're more than welcome to check out our website, liveinthepresent.co.uk, for all the links there. You'll also find show notes about today's episode, where you can read more about all the interesting things that we are about to discuss. I'd like to just start by thanking a reviewer on iTunes, on the US iTunes store. It was a 3-star review, and it was by Peter LA81.
Hiya, Peter.
Hi, Peter. Yeah. And he says, the hosts are interesting people who seem knowledgeable on certain topics, but the podcasts generally contain a lot of self-promotion on their website, books, entrepreneurial spirit, etc., etc. So, we just spoke then, Sean. You know, how you deal with negative feedback? How well you take it?
I don't know that the feedback was that negative.
Really. No, it wasn't really. It was constructive.
I'm sure we could get worse.
Yeah, we could be a lot worse. Yeah. We could mention our website a lot more.
Yeah, I'm happy that we promote what we do, because what we're doing is we're trying to do things that help other people.
Yeah,
and that's, for me, that's okay to promote that.
That's the goal, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so I hope we don't do it too much, but I just hope that the things we do are useful to other people.
That's indeed, yeah. There may be a couple of mentions in today's, because it's relevant to some of the topics from our book. But so
sorry, Pete.
As I'm sure you know, we're going to spend a bit of time talking about what we've been up to this week, some news items that have caught our eye, and then we're going to dive into this week's topic, which is a big one, as ever. How do we forgive the unforgivable? So without further ado, Sean, how's your week been? What have you been up to?
My week's good. Two main events for me this week, I think. One was going down to the Chartered Institute of Payroll Professionals, who are a bunch of guys that I do quite a lot of work with. I do their conferences and things like that. Really nice bunch of people that have a lot of concentration on motivation, on how they can get the best out of the people that are working with them.
Yep.
And the bunch of guys I was working with at the weekend are tutors that are training people, and it was like, how can we help our students? And it was a really positive session. So thanks for that, guys. It was lovely.
Lovely.
The other thing is my running is coming on. I'm being fitted for a pair of shoes later today so that I can get even better.
With the springy heels.
Yes. By the end of this week, I will be at 36 Okay, so I'm a happy man. So three
total week for the week, not in one go.
No. That's over the last 3 weeks. Come on. If I can get to doing 5K a day, I should be a happy man.
That'd be brilliant, going.
Yeah. I'm getting there. I'm pleased with it. It's good.
At the moment, the weather in the UK is stunning. We've had a bit of a heat wave again.
Yeah.
The guys in other parts of the world that are listening will probably laugh at our 24 degrees heat that we're getting in the northwest here. But
when I drove down to the conference the weekend, it was 33.
So, okay,
yeah,
that was a bit further south.
Yeah, that was warm. Yeah,
that's pretty warm.
Yeah, I go out running 5 o'clock in the morning because it's nice and cool.
I would ask then is, if the weather wasn't so great, would you be out there? If it was raining, would you go out for a run?
I haven't had that yet, so I'll let you know. I'll keep you informed as we go along.
I'm going to check up on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a good week too. Yeah, like you say, the weather's good, so it's always quite easy to spring out of bed and feel energetic. I know we try and stay positive on this podcast, but I know last week I mentioned that a family member had passed away, and this week another death in my kind of circle of friends has occurred, which is just pretty grim. Really, really lovely fella, did everything the right way. But I guess at some point in the podcast we should talk about how to deal with loss and what have you.
Very much about our topic this week, isn't it?
Yeah.
The idea about, can we forgive people? Can we forgive events?
You know, without mentioning, again, I'm not going to say any names, obviously, here, but the death in this case has left a bit of a not a nice trail of things behind it. In some, well, I mean, he's an amazing guy, but there was things left unsaid, which needed resolving, and now people aren't going to have the chance to now.
I think we need to come back to that in the cast. I mean, I think that's very much about what we're talking about today. It's good.
Right, Sean, have you got some news for us this week?
Yeah, the news that I've got this week follows on from something we were talking about a few casts ago, which is about this idea about men coming to terms with themselves.
Yeah.
And in that kind of liberated sense. And it refers, for me, it comes from a book that I've come across, which is called India Dishonored, which is the idea of what's going on in India with the relationship between men and women. And it's inspired by the amount of rapes that have been going on. And it made me think and look at things and look around the net a bit. And it appears that in cultures where males are seen as being more important than women, we end up in a situation where, however it's done, that we end up with more males than females. And if you look at the census in India for 2011, it's showing that there are 37 million more men than there are women in India. And what that means is there's a huge competition for women, in a sense, but women are also devalued in that sense because they're not seen as important as men.
Yeah.
And one of the stats that come out of it, I've gone about this forever, but one of the stats that comes out of it is that in areas of India where there are more women, there is less violence and less murders. And I think that's a really fundamental element in this work, that that idea of the balance of sexes should actually be 50-50. But when we start to value one above the other and we start to create an imbalance, we create so many problems.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'd recommend the book, but it is high.
Sorry, again?
So it's called India Dishonored, which is a sad title in a way, because India is a beautiful place and there are many, many beautiful things in India.
Yeah.
But this part of society is not good.
No. Not good. Interesting. Yeah. And I'm going to talk about, well, something positive, because the last few weeks there's been plenty of stuff in the UK about a year on since we hosted the Olympics.
Yeah.
London 2012, which is an amazing event.
Yep.
Real buzz around the country this time a year ago, wasn't there?
Yeah, it's really good.
So all sorts of news agencies over here looking at kind of, well, they're using this word legacy. What's the legacy been, you know, and has the investment paid for itself? And there's various stats about, you know, sporting take-up and what have you, and people, I mean, yeah, you're a good example, Sean, because you're doing your running, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that inspired by the Olympics or not?
But there were a variety of things that did it. It was mainly the marathon, the London Marathon, and it was watching that wonderful guy at 102 running the marathon and thinking, Jesus, if this guy can run the marathon at 102, I should be able to do it on one leg, really.
Yeah.
And that's my inspiration. But also in the Olympics, it was the Paralympics that really got me. I mean, those guys were just amazing.
They're incredible.
Yeah.
But it's cool looking back on something like that. And
so statistically then, has it paid off?
It's kind of not paid off as well as some would hope. Like, sports clubs are struggling a little bit, independent clubs. But I don't know, it was never going to be a magic bullet. It was always going to take work and effort on, you know, not just on behalf of the people who are spending the money and trying to promote things, but it's all of our responsibilities to get off our asses and do stuff right.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that in Britain particularly, because we have problems with our National Health Service and it's in decline, that we, like other countries, will have to take more account of our own health and not rely on a health service to look after us.
Yeah.
Quite a fundamental change in British society, really. Mm,
but yeah, Olympics was cool. 74% of people said they would like it to return to the UK in their lifetime. I'm like, which 26% wouldn't, you know, what's wrong with it? It was amazing.
Maybe those are the people they didn't ask.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's cool. Let's move on to our topic of the week, Sean. How do we forgive the unforgivable? A bit of self-promotion. Peter won't like this. But this is chapter one in our book, Live in the Present. It is stage one for people who want to get on and move on with their lives, is forgiveness and self-forgiveness. In your consulting room as a psychotherapist, is this the starting point for a lot of people for a whole range of issues?
Yeah, for virtually everybody. I guess that at the outset, when you're starting looking at the idea of forgiving the unforgivable, you have to decide what unforgivable is and also what forgiveness is. What does it mean?
Yeah.
And what is it that becomes unforgivable? What kinds of things are unforgivable? If you Google people that forgive murderers, you get page after page after page of people that have faced the idea that someone has murdered their child, their loved one, their family, and people that have managed to process through and get into the idea of forgiveness and what forgiveness in the sense that we, the work we do at Live in the Present is about. Forgiveness is about foregoing the connection that you have, that emotional elastic that connects you to things like retribution, to rumination, and to developing hatreds. So that forgiving is foregoing. If I forgive you for something, what I'm saying is I'm letting go of my connection to it. I can't stop your stuff. Yep. The fact that you've done what you've done, you have to deal with that. I can't deal with that, but I can let go of my bit. It's up to you to do that. So like the issues of forgiveness become profound. In terms of self-development, absolutely important. You cannot get into the present and live in the present and create a future whilst you're connected to the past in any negative way.
Yeah.
It's okay having good connections to the past. I mean, all of us can look back and see wonderful things that we did and have warm associations, things. That's lovely.
Yeah.
It's the negative stuff that's the problem.
I mean, we'll all know, we'll maybe highlight a few fictitious examples here, but we'll all know it, perhaps in our lives, directly or indirectly, someone perhaps who has gone through a horrible breakup or divorce. Okay, so let's talk about how someone can forgive a partner for, well, who knows what. But
well, I mean, I deal with lots of couples.
Yeah.
And I suppose the first distinction that I would make is that usually if the man has been unfaithful in a relationship, the woman is prepared to work on it. If it's the other way around, usually the man wants to end it. And that's an interesting difference for me in men and women, and that women have the capacity to be much more forgiving generally. And there may be evolutionary needs for that, in the sense that a woman needs to maintain a home and raise the children, so that keeping the man on board, I suppose, is a good way of the woman being able to fulfil her role. So I'm sure there's things like that that are in it from an evolutionary point of view. But generally, it's women who are much more forgiving. We do have lovely examples, and my favourite, I've mentioned him before, but he's one of my favourite heroes on the planet, is Nelson Mandela, who comes out of Robben Island and could have created a bloodbath even, if actually you could edit that out.
Start that again.
Yeah. Nelson Mandela, who comes out of Robben Island, and he could have created a bloodbath of white blood across South Africa, and he didn't do it. He inspired and created the idea of making a commission where people could come along and admit what they've done and could be forgiven for what they've done.
Wow.
And that's a very powerful thing for me, because one of the things that it raises for me in working with people is the idea about what's life about, and that usually means what happens when you die. So that when people believe that there is a heaven issue and hell issue after death, that moderates their behaviour in certain ways. They may be seeking forgiveness in some forms. If people believe it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, well, you're in for the long haul. And Gandhi's idea about an eye for an eye means that in the end we're all blind.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you believe in reincarnation, there's two ways of looking at it. You might think it's better to be as good as you can this time round so you get a better lifetime next time. Or you might think, oh, hang it, who cares? Let's just have a riot this time and I'll worry about it next time because it's ongoing.
Okay.
But the way that people view death is very much about how they view life. People that believe that there's nothing after death, well, it's take what you want, in a way. It's a materialist world. And unless you have some kind of humanist belief in passing on your genes in a positive way, then it's up for grabs. What do you think happens when you die?
Not too much, I guess. I haven't got a label for my kind of spirituality, I guess. But I like the idea of immortality in the sense of, yeah, leaving behind a good trail of happy memories.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lead by example. So what Mandela did is amazing. He's getting pretty old, Mandela, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's probably not going to be with us too much longer, which is sad, but he's left behind an awesome legacy, and with that, he's going to live forever, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be remembered. You know, he can be remembered for the wrong thing as well. There are plenty of examples of that as well. Good on him, eh?
Yeah, yeah. It's a very, very, very powerful example for all of us, I think.
Yeah.
Something to live up to, being able to forgive others.
If we're looking at people then who find it hard to forgive, and again, going back to the example of divorce and separation issues, people who I've kind of met on my journey, they seem almost to be quite... They hold on to their hatred a little bit, you know, and they quite... It's almost as if they're addicted to it.
Yeah.
And they don't want to let go.
But it becomes a part of their persona. It's who I am.
So yeah.
And the person can nurse their hatred to their bosom like a baby.
How do you pull that baby away then? And
well, it starts off with people have to want to. And sometimes people will actually just say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. The idea of forgiving makes it sound like what someone else has done is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas actually you can never make what someone else has done okay. But you can forgive them. You can let go. You can forego your hatreds and your attachments. You can let go of it. Because the bottom line is that the only person that hatred ever damages is yourself. Doesn't damage the object of your hatred.
That's the key point, isn't it?
Yeah, it's for me. Hatred is a negative thing for me, and forgiveness is a positive thing for me. Has no effect either way on the person that I am forgiving or hating.
Yeah.
It's me that it affects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's that sense of focus. And I have a direct experience of that for me, really. There's an issue which I think Ed was a bit. Should I talk about this? But my father wasn't a nice guy for me.
I've got it here. Sean's story. His bastard dad.
I left home at 15. I left home at 15 because of the problems I had with my father. Now my brothers and sisters would all say, no, he was a lovely man, but they didn't get from him what I got, and it took me from 15 to about 25 before. And going through all kinds of crazy things like drugs and alcohol and going through lots of depression and blackness to get to a point where I was with a teacher who said to me, do you think that it may be your response to what's happened to you rather than what happened to you that is important, which was like a big, you know, the scales falling away from your eyes kind of moment. There's a Greek philosopher, Epictetus, who says men are not in the least affected by events. That's not the point. It's their response to those events. It's the response. It's not the event itself. And I began to realise that the things that happened between my father and I were more about me coming to terms with me. It was nothing to do with my father. The fact that he did what he did is his stuff, and he'll have to deal with that in the fullness of time. Nothing to do with me, but I have to deal with my stuff.
Yeah.
And that process of forgiveness of letting go, which is the first part of the book and the course, sorry, Peter, is a very important part of life's work, but the work we do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you forgave your dad, but a part of that perhaps was focusing on the things that he had given you as well.
Yeah, but one of the things for me is that there's three aspects about getting into the present. The first aspect is about forgiving people that have done bad things to you. The second bit is acknowledging the bad things that you've done to them. And I have to own that, because there were things that, as my father gradually became worse in my world, I did things to him maybe he didn't know about, like I polluted bottles of wine for him with things that you shouldn't pollute them with, so that he drank them, things like that.
We don't promote that at all.
We don't promote No. But at the time, it made sense to me as a kid. You know?
Yeah.
But the third part of getting into the present is the gratitude. It's acknowledging the good things that have happened. And when I was making my list and working through my stuff, my father appears again on my gratitude list. And he taught me to play music. He was a musician. Most of my family played music. You know, sister was an opera singer, brother playing cornet, something. And I have done so much with music. I've earned a living. I've played stuff for the BBC. I've done all kinds of things with music. They've been amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't moan about any of that. But in the forgiveness of him for the things he did do, I can also acknowledge the gratitude of the things that he gave me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So moving on to the other end of the spectrum, which you've partly done there, really, to the more, well, horrific, horrible things that go on in the world. We talked a few weeks ago about Ian Brady, the wonderful mass murderer that Greystar Shores still does. How can people who, well, that still live today that suffered from his.
If you go on Google and you type in the people that forgive murderers and just look at different people's stories, it's amazing watching people go through that process of allowing themselves to let go of the negative emotion. One of the things about personal development, whatever we're looking at, is that we can never ever change what happened. And the memory of what happened is like a structure, it's like a scaffolding around a building. You can't change it. But the meat on those bones, the thing that covers that structure, is the emotional attachments that we have to things. And it's important to be able to see that and be able to let the emotions go. I mean, my life is full of millions of examples of people that have had to face those most negative things.
Yeah.
And go through the process of letting go at all levels, whether I've been working with service personnel or whether it's people in everyday domestic situations. Very, very difficult things that people have to deal with. In terms of forgiveness and letting go, would you as an individual rather play the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth scenario and get into that equals vendetta to me?
Yeah, and I'm thinking now that the things that we see in films and on TV and in popular culture, it's very much about, you know, you get your revenge, you know. You get your payback.
Yeah, get even.
Get even by, an eye for an eye style.
Yeah.
So and then that's what people, well, I don't know, is that what kids are learning about how you get back at people?
I guess the...
When do we learn about forgiveness? You know, it's a big part of, the Christian church, obviously.
But that's in decline, isn't it?
Where
religiosity is disappearing out of society. Maybe that's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing. But with it goes some of that moral backing, unless it's coming in a family setting, then it's not there. Mm. Yeah, don't know. And one of the biggest things is that when you look at people's levels of anger and forgiving the unforgivable, the thing or the person that people very often are angriest with is God, whatever that means for them, whether that's seen as a person or an energy or whatever. But the question's always... points of difficulty are why this, why me, why now? And that's very often completely unanswerable other than it's your turn. But if you're in a situation where... I could give you so many examples of people that have driven home to find their house burned down and the whole of the family gone and having to come to terms with that.
I guess you don't... Until you're tested, you don't know how you can react to these
things. And I think that's the one. It's like it's clever to be... to pontificate about forgiveness until you're in that position.
Mm.
I could give you examples of people that have been involved in the church and a child going off, you know, like 18-year-old child going off with some friends in a car, and these people have been completely faithful to God, had a lovely existence and saw themselves as blessed. And suddenly they have to go to the scene of an accident to find their child stuck in a car. The car's crashed. And the mother's trying to get the child out the car, and the car bursts into flames, and the father has to hold the mother back whilst they listen to the child dying in the flames. And suddenly they go from being godly people that believe they're blessed to hating God, and God's the devil. We've now got the dark side going. And I've had so many things like that in the therapy room, where people have to work the long way. And we're talking about something that very often, in terms of forgiveness, can take many years to get people to the point where they can actually let it go and see it as a part of the process of life rather than as a personal hurt and slight.
How do you deal with all this stuff as a therapist? A bit off topic here.
Come and talk to you.
How come you don't end up like Darth Vader, just like hating the world and...
people say that, but one of the things about therapy is that, yes, you deal with difficult issues, but the thing that I see is at the end of issues, I see people going out the door smiling and saying thanks for that, and usually they say, and I hope I never see you again, and burst out laughing like it's a joke, and I think I've never heard that before. but it's that sense, I see the fulfilment at the other end. And yes, it's difficult, but one of the things that we have to do as therapists is we have to sit down with another therapist once a month for at least an hour and a half.
Once a month?
Yeah, once a month.
Oh, wow, I didn't notice that often.
Yeah. It's part of your registration. So I have a lovely lady called Yola, who I've known for since about 1988, and we've always worked together in terms of support. And she's a very, very experienced woman, very, very dependable, bombproof. And we work with each other. So we get together once a month and we spend a whole evening. And she dumps her stuff, I dump my stuff, and we sort out things that are going on, difficult things with clients or whatever stuff that we need to think about, talk about.
Cool.
Yeah, but it keeps you sane. That and my zoning, my meditation.
Yeah. Well, we all need our have our own little techniques, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe some people don't, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, whatever works for you.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced anything in your life that you saw as being unforgivable?
No. Not yet. And I don't know. I like to think I've got a good base from the stuff that I've learned in my 31 years to deal with anything. But like we've said, you don't know until you're tested.
I think that at an honesty level, the biggest thing for me ever was I had a child that died. And in some odd way, some odd emotional way, I felt that I was in some way to blame, which is completely irrational. But I'd made some emotional connection with it. And I went through quite a difficult period of time, which was like a couple of years of trying to work that out and feeling that level of needing to forgive myself in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite a tough one. But yeah, I think that until you're tested, you don't know. You don't know how you're going to face it.
Well, yeah, something's going to happen at some point. You know, it happens to us all, doesn't it?
So. Yeah.
I'll let you know when it does. I'll be knocking on your door.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be there.
Okay, thank you, Sean. Interesting topic. We'll wrap it up there and move on. But obviously, if anyone's got any discussion or any points to raise, visit the website liveinthepresent.co.uk. Use the comments below the show notes for today's episode and let us know. And if you've got any techniques for forgiveness or any stories to tell that you'd like to share, let us know. Or righto, let's have a resource of the week from you, Sean.
I'm going to go back to Andrew Marr. I love this guy's intellect. Yeah. I love the way he thinks. And he wrote a book which is just simply called The History of the World. And it's just a really good book. It's lovely. And he starts off with the idea of prehistory and works right the way through to modern day.
Yeah, obviously he's got a love of learning, hasn't he, that guy?
Yeah, very, very insightful. I think in terms of forgiveness, I wonder how he feels about the fact that he had the stroke and his body let him down. Because that's a big one when you're working with clients who have been kind of fit and healthy and suddenly their body in some way hasn't worked. Something's stopped, and that's a big one.
Yeah, okay, no, we'll put a link up to that. There's plenty of video stuff of Andrew Marr on YouTube, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's done loads of documentaries on, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Where he's kind of travelled the world.
Yeah.
There's a lot of video of him kind of walking around looking at things.
Yeah.
In, you know,
different countries.
Yeah. Good guy. I'm going to talk about a book, a short but sweet ebook called Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It, which has got a brilliant cover.
Is that a lovely title?
It's cool. It's by an awesome chap called Kamal Ravikant. I hope I pronounced that right, Kamal. But really awesome guy. He's on Twitter. He's a smart fella. He's been up and down in his life a few times. And when he eventually got back up last time, he wrote this book, which is, yeah, like I say, it's a short ebook. I think it's only like £1.59 for the Kindle version.
Right.
Just get it. Short but sweet, brilliant book.
That title isn't just a title, it's like a truism.
Yeah.
You know, because your life does depend on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the title gives away a lot of the book, but it talks about love. Forgiveness, so it's relevant to the topic today.
Yeah.
I won't give too much away. I'll just say, I'll put the link up, go and get a copy because it's fantastic. Kamal's an awesome guy as well, so follow him online. There are a few other podcast interviews that I've heard with him too. He's also got a really awesome haircut as well. He's got this amazing long silver hair.
Well,
yeah, I mean, that's kind of a bit of a side note.
Yeah,
but grab his book because he's a top fella. That's it for this week, Sean.
Great. Thank
Marvellous.
You.
As I say, visit the website for more information. I'm sure you know the link. I won't say it again because I don't want to go overboard.
And thank you, Peter, for your comment.
Yeah. No, seriously, we do thank you for taking the time. But yeah, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. If you can leave us a review on iTunes, it can be any number of stars. Feedback, all really appreciated. You know, this isn't the finished product, this podcast. We want to get it better and better, don't we?
Yeah.
So just send us your feedback. Next week, we are going to talk about fidelity in the digital age, which can cover a whole range of issues.
That's a big one. That's a big one in the consulting room, that.
Yeah. I mean, the web's done lots of wonderful things. I think I told you the fact, which I need to check, but I think about 70 or 80% of the web is pornography.
Well, a statistic to just think on. Statistically, 70% of men access pornography and 30% of women.
Okay.
That's a big, it's a lot of people.
It is, and I would say if you took a certain age range, for my generation who's kind of grown up with the web, you know, from 15 to what I am now, 31, I bet it's higher than 70%. I bet it is, certainly in this country. Yeah. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, we'll get that.
It's going to be a good one as ever, and we will wrap it up. So, Sean, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ed.
See you next week. I look forward to speaking to you next week.
Okay, bye now.
Toodaloo.